Ner Mitzvah, Chelik Beis. We're Chelik Beis of the Sefer in Yanni Chanukah. So the first Chelik talks about the Arba Machliyos, and the second Chelik talks about Chanukah. So we'll go through this on the fire. Some of this is Chazara. Ki Malchus Yavon, the kingdom of Yavon, which is the third one, it's number three. Umuchan is Gabal Yisrael. Muchan means they don't have to do anything. They don't have to make a decision to oppose Klal Yisrael. They're destined for it. Muchan. That means that their national character, their culture, it's automatically a no-go. You know, that they're destined to fight. They can't get along with Klal Yisrael. Muchan means that their makeup just doesn't work. Mashiach some Torah mitzvahs alakiyos, because Klal Yisrael has something that the oven can't stand. They have Torah, which in this world doesn't make a bit of sense. They have mitzvahs, which in this world doesn't make a bit of sense. There is no way you can make sense of a mitzvah in this world. If you can make mitzvah sense out of some of them, you can't make sense out of all of them. And even the ones you could make sense of, you can't make sense of all the details. Maybe, you know, there's certain mitzvahs that they can explain on some social level, but all the pratim, go try and explain on this world a mitzvah, any mitzvah. It can't be done. So Torah mitzvahs, the existence of Torah mitzvahs is testimony, it's edus, that this world is not all that matters. There's a great big reality out there that can't be defined by any of the concepts in this world. And Klal Yisrael has access to it. Yavon is wisdom. They have all the wisdom. Malchus is shayach la chachma. They're the wisdom of Chokma. She's Sechel Adam Bavad, but they only have human wisdom. So human wisdom only understands human things. I mean, the Greek philosophers, they said it. Was ich verstehe nicht, ist nicht. Was ich verstehe nicht, ist nicht. That which I don't understand doesn't exist.
What is he saying that they won't get? They're not going to get Shachla Batarya and Gemara? Like, what deep, untouchable, non-physical wisdom are they not going
to... If they get Shachla Batarya and the Gemara, it's only because they relate to the parts of the Gemara that deal with this world.
Like,
they can get that. They can study Talmud in the university, and they can figure out the different shittas.
What are they not getting?
The part of the Torah that's deeper than what happens when you have to pay for one, your ox scoring someone else's ox. The Torah is understood on many levels. The Torah is a law book. It's a law, a way of a social order. The people have to live with each other. So you need rules, and you need to respect things. It's a certain cohesiveness that brings people together. They relate to that. But you see, the thing about the Yavanim is they're not just dumb people, they're smart dumb people. It's not... They know that there's more to the Torah. You know, if they wouldn't be so smart, so they would look at the Torah. It's a work of ethics, it's a work of philosophy. And they wouldn't bother them that the Jews had the Torah. They could also have the Torah. But they know that there's a part of the Torah that doesn't deal with this world. They know that there's a part of the Torah that the only way to understand it is not to be in this world. So they're smart, they know. And they also know that they can't have access. They cannot access wisdom, that in order to understand it, you have to be out of this world. So they can't have it. And they know all that. They know. I wouldn't be wrong in saying that the Yavanim understood Torah then more than we understand it now. They know. They knew it's there. And to that, they knew it's there, and there's nothing they could do about it because they can't get it. But the one thing they could do is that they shouldn't be the only ones that don't have it. Klai Yisrael has it. And they can't have it. So that's the mystery facing us. They can't have it because how do you have wisdom that doesn't exist in this world? So they can't have it. If they can't have it, so no one should be able to have it. Somehow or another, Klai Yisrael has it.
How do you have wisdom that doesn't exist?
Right, so if Klai Yisrael has wisdom that doesn't originate in this world, they have wisdom that, first of all, doesn't relate to this world, and second of all, it's not in the world. It's not here. So how does Klai Yisrael get it? And if Klai Yisrael can get it, why can't the Yavam get it? The Teretz says, the Gemara Masechta Nedarim talks about Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. It's mamish this week's parsha. In Yana Yayim, the Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for Arba'im Yayim. Hayalai Mitera Umeshakcha. Hayalai Mitera Umeshakcha. Umeshakcha. He was learning Torah, he was forgetting it. He was learning Torah, he was forgetting it. That's what he did. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Learning Torah and forgetting it. Why was he forgetting it? He was forgetting it because the Torah is ruchni. The Torah does not relate to gashmius. There's nothing in the Torah that's gashmius. It's very interesting because, from my point of view, everything in the Torah relates to gashmius. But the Torah be'etzem has no shaykes to gashmius. The only reason why we can understand the things that are written in the Torah and connect them with gashmius is because there's a levush. There's a levush. There's like a layer. Now it's like you have a little kid that's in the winter. And he has to go out to school. Little kid, you know, like 2 feet tall, a little teeny kid. And the mother said, it's cold outside, it's snowing outside, you're going to be cold. So first she puts on a nice flannel shirt and corduroy pants with leggings underneath, like, what do you call it, the long johns. Long johns underneath, and then there's plastic bags around his feet, and you put them in the boots. And then, And then she puts a scarf around him, and then she puts a sweater over it all, and then she puts on a coat, and then on top of the coat there's a hat. On top of there's another. Yeah, by the time you finish, the kid looks like a little blimp. You have a little kid, 2 feet tall, maybe like, you call it 10, 12 inches in diameter, and he looks like a beach ball. Now you're going to look at that kid and you're going to describe what the kid really is based on what he looks like when he goes out to play in the snow. There's going to be certain things, you will be able to tell certain things about him. You will. Average, you can approximate the height. The girth, forget about it. What's the shape of the kid? There's a layer and 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 a layer. And yes, at the core of it is the kid. And these are layers on top of the kid. But it's almost unrecognizable for us. You know, when the Torah says, Shar Shanaka Kasapara, the Torah says that the Yishutsu Hamayim Nefeshchaya, and that when the Torah says that, the way we perceive that, that the that there's fish in the sea and that there's animals walking on the ground and there's sun and stars and there's, when the Torah says the word afar or afar or kechavim, anything. Yeah, there is some kind of meaning, but it's nothing like what it really means. What it really means has no shaykhus to anything that we've ever been capable of seeing. The Torah, by definition, is the revelation of God. You know, there's two things in this universe, two things which are really one. There's God, and then there's revelation of God. God is everywhere. Or it's more accurate to say there's no place that God is not. There's no void, there's no absence. But revelation of God, that could be in some places there's revelation and there's other places there's no revelation. There's some, you know, God, there's nowhere that God is not. But there's some matzavim, there's some situations or places that God's presence, you could sense, is revealed more than others. Like the Beis HaMikdash. God is in the Beis HaMikdash, he's also in Central Park. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they saw evidence of God's presence. And in Central Park, you see the muggers. And the muggers are not God. So Torah, the role of Torah, God created Torah. And God created Torah by expressing it. Torah is the wisdom that's expressed from God. So when you see Torah, when you learn Torah, when you study Torah, you don't see God, but you see evidence of God. Because if you see wisdom that's expressed, so then there must have been an expressor. In order for it to be expressed wisdomness, so when you learn Torah, so then that's evidence of God's presence. Because you can't have wisdom that's expressed without one that expresses the wisdom. So that's revelation. Torah reveals. You learn a sugi, you understand it via chokhma. So then it's revealed to you that there's one that created this chokhma. The body, the gashmias, was created. God created the body. God made it. God made the body. He engineered the body to hide. That's the mask that God hides behind. So Torah reveals, and the body conceals. They don't get along. The body rejects Torah. It does. And Torah is not happy with, you know, and Torah is not all that happy to be with the body either. They don't get along. Moshe Rabbeinu was lying with Torah from Mishakli. He was learning Torah and he was forgetting it because Moshe Rabbeinu had a body. He went up to Shemayim with his body, Kiyadua. He went up to he's the only one. Perhaps the only one that went up to Shemayim with his body. And he was able to stand in Shemayim with his body. He was able to talk to Malachim with his body. And since his body was there, so any Torah he learned was repelled. It can't coexist with the body. Is this understood? Yeah, it can't. The properties of the body are to be a mask that Hashem hides behind it. You see a body, you see, oh, that, you know, you don't see anything godly. You look at a body. A body is like an animal. What's the body of a human? The body of a human being is an animal. Do you see wisdom in an animal? The animal has any chachma? A human being, you look at the human being's body, it broadcasts a message. What does a human being's body say? It says, I am no more than a sophisticated animal. My best friend is Coco the gorilla, and we communicate with each other in sign language. We live in the cage with Coco. We communicate in sign language, and me and Coco were on the same level in the evolutionary scale. It's just that he has the vocabulary of a 2-year-old, and I have the vocabulary of a 35-year-old. How old is that Meshuggah guy that's in the cage with Coco the gorilla? And that's when you study the body, and you look at the similarities between your body and the animal's body, so then you're drawn to that conclusion. Because Hashem created the body in order to mislead us. You can't learn Torah if you have a body. You can only learn Torah if you're a Malach. Only Malachim could learn Torah.
I would understand that before Harsinai, but I'm not.
Correct. And that is the way it was before Harsinai. Harsinai is called... What happened in Harsinai was Matan Torah. And this is what happened at Matan Torah. The Gemara continues.
I thought it was the opposite, that when Malachim said, don't give them the Torah, they're totally going to make it do terrible things. And Hashem's like, you don't have arms and legs, you don't know what it... He goes through different things that Malachim don't have physically. Doesn't that show me that the Torah is for the body? Or
not yet. The Malachim had its side and Moshe Rabbeinu had its side. The Malachim side is that the Torah is cooler with me. They weren't lying. You know, so you like Moshe Rabbeinu's side because Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, but the Torah says, Kabbeinu Savika Vesimacha, and you don't have a father and a mother. The Torah says, Lysigna, but you don't have a Yitzhar to steal. So you like that, right? And that's what you're asking from that point of view.
I'm saying, is it cooler with me or not?
But didn't the Malachim know this Pesukim? Moshe Rabbeinu,
yeah,
every pasuk the Moshe brought it to the Malachim.
I'm asking
but it says so Moshe told the Malachim, Hashem didn't take you out of Mitzrayim. The Malachim didn't know those psukim.
We say that God, the body propels Torah, and yet we see that the Torah is only for someone with a body.
No, the Torah says the Malachim, when they heard this psukim, Mitzrayim does not mean Egypt to Malachim. Avicha v'imecha do not mean a father and a mother to Malachim. What those things mean to Malachim, it's perfectly sensible that it should stay in Shemayim and not come down on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But each Malach is individual, not like humans. Each Malach is individual and created for a specific purpose. So how do we know that in the parameters of that they would understand the whole Torah? Maybe they only understand the part that's relevant to them.
So they understand what's relevant to them, but they also, maybe this is what Meir means, they also have an inability of understanding anything outside of themselves.
Why should they have a lack of
understanding grow. Well, to them, the only reality to them was the spiritual Torah. That is, anything that wasn't spiritual Torah wasn't real.
But the knowledge is there. For example, I was told at least that in Shemayim there's no questions to have answers to because there are no questions. There's no lack of knowledge. Here, there are things that we don't understand. It's because they're hidden and not because it's just that they're hidden down here.
And you are correct. In Shemayim, so there's no mysteries.
So then the Malachim can't not know something. The Malachim have to understand
everything. It's also true. Because this is what Meir is saying. Until Matan Torah, it was the Malachim were right. The Malachim were right. Torah could not be given on earth. And the raya to that is that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to learn it, it didn't stick. So it didn't stick. Laimed Torah u'mishakcha. He was learning Torah and he was forgetting it. That means the Malachim are right. Could you imagine a better right? You have an argument with some female where the girl's allowed to learn Torah or not. And you tell the girl, you're not allowed to learn it. She says, why? Because the Torah says the Kol HaMelamed is beat the Torah, Kol HaMelamed the Tiflis. So the Torah that you're trying to learn says that you shouldn't learn it. And then she says, well, that was in those days when girls, when they didn't go to school and they didn't know how to read. But nowadays, we're smarter, we can do it better. She said, okay, here's a sugi, go make a chabura. And then she comes out with a chabura, which is a bunch of narishkeit. And you say, listen, you are proof positive that you shouldn't be learning this in the first place, because this is the Malachim, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, okay, Moshe, you hold that we should give it an orange. You hold that Shar means a cow. It's not a cow. Shar means whatever angels think of Shar means. I don't know what Shar means according to angels. But whatever Shar means, it's okay, you hold it means a cow. Go make a chaburah, Moshe. Go learn something about it your way and see what you come up with. And Moshe Rabbeinu started learning. He's making his chaburah. And then he said, okay, what did you come up with, Moshe Rabbeinu? Explain the Torah that it means a cow. Could you take these words and somehow explain that it means a moo, 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 moo cow? And Moshe says, oh, I forgot the sugya. You know, do you understand? So the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Mimidbar Matana. Hashem gave it to Moshe as a present. And then he remembered it. That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. Just like it's a miracle for a fire to exist within inside of ice, and just like it's a miracle for a sea to split, so it's also a miracle for Torah to be revealed within a goof. It's not the nature of Torah to work together with a goof, to be revealed through a goof. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sort of overrode it. He overrode the nature of Torah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made a special bria. The two things which don't work well, you know, fire and water do not work well with each other. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made Xerah so fire and water should work well with each other. They did. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Moshe Matana. What does the word Matana mean? It means that there's no real reason why it should be. Matanas are, you give them because you want to give them. When you buy something, you give the money. The guy is forced to give you the objects. It's like, it's Magiyah. It's, when you buy something, something is coming to you. But a Matana, there's nothing about you that this should be. It's totally chesed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created something new. He created a way for Torah to be expressed even in human terms. My Rebbe, Moshe Shapira Shlita, said that the Malachim were arguing with Moshe over this point, because the Malachim, there's no way that this Torah could have any meaning in a physical world. It's ridiculous. Whatever these divrei Torah means, whatever Ritzia Ba'isan and Evan Ivri means to Malachim, to say that it's talking about a slave that he wants to stay because of his wife, you have to poke his ear into the door thing, that's ridiculous. Of course it doesn't mean that. That is so ridiculous. It means the deepest of mysteries to them. And they didn't see anything else because Malachim don't see out of themselves. And Moshe turns to Kadosh Baruch, what am I supposed to do? These Malachim, what am I supposed to do? Hashem said, Moshe, you answer them. Moshe, you answer. Haksel Lam Tshuva. Moshe, you answer them. And Moshe said, I'm afraid they're going to burn me up with you. Moshe told Hashem, I'm not going to argue with the Malach. Malach are my fire. I'm going to talk to them. They're going to talk to me. I'm going to get burnt up. Hashem says, hold on to the Kisei cover. You won't get burnt up. And we'll talk about this week, not saying about this, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu was touching on the Shar HaNun. Touched the Kisei Kavod, and he answered the angels. So the kasha is, my Rebbe asked, why did Hashem tell Moshe to answer the Malachim? Why couldn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu answer the Malachim himself? You do find dialogues between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Malachim. When the Malachim didn't want Hashem to create the world, Hashem answered them. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the answer, and he could respond, he says, the Moshe has to answer it. So the Torah says, because the Malachim had never been exposed to Torah in human terms. To them, the Torah is the Torah of Malachim. And any other pshat in it is just a non-existent pshat. It's Megalopanim B'Torah Shalei Kamacha. Megalopanim B'Torah Shalei Kamacha. It's like a sermon of a reform rabbit. You get up there, any single time you get up there and say divrei Torah, they're always going to get it wrong. They make the sermon and they look for a verse that has a similar word in it. It doesn't even have to, you know. I once heard a conservative rabbi give a drasha. It was very Shabbat brachas, so a guy from Tells, who came from the town. So this was his father's rabbi. So he came and he spoke. I think it was Shabbos Kana, because he was talking about the nevuah of Zechariah. And he says, Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, is standing there with a menorah and a fire on this side and a fire on that side. So he was very excited about these fires. Very excited. And the fire on this side and the fire on that side. I don't know. He was talking about fires. He was saying nothing. The Malachim, when human beings say tire, they never were exposed to it. They don't know what it is. The Pshat doesn't exist. When Moshe Rabbeinu started talking to the Malachim, so he was saying Pesukim to them. When Moshe said, Kavidus Avikas Vesimecha, they heard the Pasuk. It's the first time Malachim ever heard a human being say a Pasuk. They had never heard a human being say a Pasuk. They heard God say Pesukim. And they understood it. The way God meant it when he said it for Malachim. But when Moshe said it, they heard a body say Divrei Torah. They had never experienced that before. And when a body expresses Torah, so then they hear a pshat in the Torah that a body could express. And they recognized that it was a good pshat also, that it was a real pshat. And then they heard Kavnis Avik Vesimecha the way Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. They never knew it existed before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new possibility in his Torah, that you could even understand Torah in human terms. And when the Malachim heard Moshe Rabbeinu say the Pesukim, so then they realized that there's Torah even for human beings. And there's a Pshat in Torah for everything. There's a Pshat in there for Malachim. There's a Pshat there for human beings. There's a pshat there for Talmidei Chachamim, for Gedolei Olam. There's a pshat there for little children. And my Rebbe of Chaim Stein, Zichro Livracha, added to this. That once they realized that there's a pshat for Malachim and for humans, so then they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah primarily for humans. Because if it wasn't created for humans, then why do you need the pshat? The fact that the Torah has so many layers, it can be understood on so many different levels, there's only one niver that can understand all the levels. A malach can only understand the levels from a lachem. They can't understand the Torah for humans. But a human being can understand all the levels, because a human being, his body is the lowest of the low. And the neshama of a Ben Yisrael who's ma'amin b'teira, that's a Ben Yisrael that's ma'amin b'teira, is mechubit to the Kisei HaKavod. In the Nevuah that talks about the Kisei HaKavod, there's a face under the Kisei HaKavod. There's different tzuris, but there's a face of Pnei Adam, a face of a person, and that face is Yaakov Avinu. That's what the Medrash says. That Yaakov Avinu's face is on the Kisei HaKavod. What that means is that the neshama of Yaakov is a very high neshama, and it's able of understanding everything, even at that level. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a spiritual creation called the Kisei HaKavod, and from the Kisei HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Neshama of Yaakov Avinu, which is the Neshama of the 12 Shvatim, which is the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. In the Nevuah of Yeshaya about the Kisei HaKavod, it says, underneath the Kisei, the Shrafim and the Afanim, they're flying around underneath the Kisei. Which means that the root, the Sherish of the Neshama of Yaakov Avinu, which is the share of the neshama of Klal Yisrael, where Ma'amin v'Teira is higher than the Malachim. The body of Klal Yisrael is lower than the Malachim. So it's Klal Yisrael's extremes. They have the lowest element, the lowest creation. They have a body. They also have the highest law creation. They have a neshama that's higher than the malachim. That means they could understand every single pshat there is in the Torah, from the highest to the lowest. And malachim can't. So my Rebbe, Chaim Zichel of Racha, said that when the malachim were marked, there was a pshat that wasn't shayach to them, and they were also marked that all their pshat them is shayach to Moshe. And just remember, Hashem told Moshe to hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. You understand the significance of the Gemara? He was holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, and he was there with his guf at the same time. So he's holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, and he had a guf, so he had both extremes in front of the Malachim, and then he was saying Divrei Torah. So you were hearing Divrei Torah from a Nivra that in front of them had both extremes. So the Torah must be was created for Moshe. It wasn't created for them, because Malachim don't have all the extremes. And just shut them in the Torah that are irrelevant when it comes to Malachim.
How did they understand the face of Yaakov on the Kisei HaKavod then? Prior to that? They just saw the face and like, oh.
That was a Malach. Yeah, they didn't see the... Moshe Rabbeinu's guf is the guf of Yaakov Avinu. Moshe was at Yaakov's... I mean, Yaakov was buried in Moshe Machpelah, so he was down there. But Moshe Rabbeinu went up. So they saw the Yaakov Avinu and Moshe. It was the body of Yaakov. Where did Moshe get his body from? He got it from his father. Amram. Where did Amram get his body from? He got it from Yitzhak. Where did Yitzhak get his body from? He got it from Levi. Where did Levi get his body from? He got it from Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's body was Yaakov Avinu's body. He didn't create his own body. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, it was similar to Yaakov Avinu when he had a dream. His body was down there, and his neshama was up there, and there was a ladder between his body and his neshama, and the malachim were coming down. They saw Yaakov's body, and they were going up to Shemayim, and they saw Yaakov Avinu's Dvus Kaka Kisei Kavod, and the malachim said, it's the same thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai was a repeat of Yaakov's dream. And the Sulam Mitzvah, you know Sulam is the same gematria as... Sulam is 60, 30, 90, mem is 130.
36.
Without the vav or something.
Oh.
Sinai?
40, 60, 120.
Samach and Nun is 110, and Yud is 130. And Sulam is 130. Not the Vav. Sinai and Sulam are 130. I've seen it. And it's the Sulam of Yaakov, one and the same. It was the meeting between the body of Yaakov and the Neshama of Yaakov. So Zat Taira is only meant for Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael. And Malachim, the Taira wasn't meant for them, so the Taira went down to Shemayim. But until Matan Taira, they didn't know that, because until Matan Taira, it wasn't true.
How do you make the inference that all right, now I know that it's meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, but right, maybe it's not meant for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Could be.
It's not. It's only meant for Klal Yisrael. They cling to Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael is not Moshe. It's Zichru Teres Moshe Avdi. Moshe Kiva Teres Sinai Misrael Yisrael. Someone learns Teres and he doesn't learn Teres. If it's Teres Moshe, he doesn't get it. Someone learns Torah, and to him it's not Torah's Moshe, it's just intellectual exercise. He'll only get the Chatzinius, he won't get the Pnimius.
How do we connect to Moshe Rabbeinu when we learn?
We connect to Moshe Rabbeinu because Chaim Voloshin says that Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael is like the relationship of a neshama with a body. So Mela, the Yvanim understood this. That if somebody has a physical body, there is no way they could understand Torah. Torah is only meant for people that are in Shemayim, with one exception. The Klai Yisrael, by the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, who went up to Shemayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to Moshe, and through Moshe to Klai Yisrael b'matana. It's a present. Hashem makes a nice. That we get something, that's unattainable. We do the impossible. We understand Torah. Understanding Torah is the impossible. And every single time you learn Torah, and every single time you understand Torah, you understand a sight in Torah. That is, there's a gilui. Something true is revealed to you in Torah. That's a repeat of the process of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaSinai, that you're learning it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you matana. There is no way of understanding anything in Torah unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you at that moment. With other wisdoms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates people. Hashem creates some people smarter than others. Hashem creates someone smart. That person has tremendous potential. Hashem creates someone with a photographic memory. The guy's born with it. He didn't do anything to earn it. And then he goes, and he, as soon as he starts reading, so he can accumulate the knowledge of the world. So where's the guy getting the kite to do it? He got it when he was born. And now he's using it. So I mean, the kite for that guy to read through the Encyclopedia Britannica and memorize it, he got when he was born. And then when he reads it, he's using a kite which he got from before. That's only in secular knowledge. In Torah, there's no such thing. If you understand anything in Torah, it's because at that moment, the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a decision that you should understand it. And Hashem doesn't do that for the Yevanim. So they can't take it. It's like being in shul, and there's a guy with candy, and he's only giving to his kids. He's not giving to anybody else. They can't take it. So they want to take the candy and just smash it to the ground. They can't take it. But basically, that's pshat in the bracha we make in Birkas HaTorah every day. Baruch Ato Hashem HaMalamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael. HaMalamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael is we give a bracha that you are the one that teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's Lashon Hayva. It's not Lashon Avar. Because every time you sit down in that Gemara and you open it up and you work your brains out until you finally understand something, so you can be working for how long are you working on this? Couple of years, man.
Over.
3 months is working on it, and then all of a sudden things fall into place, because after 3 months you finally realize, I can't learn Torah, I can't understand Torah, I need help. And then all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give you a present, and things fall into place. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decision you're going to understand it. And before not, Hashem decides who and Hashem decides when. You've noticed that how many times, when you're a Rebbe, you get a special Siyat HaDishmaya, which I never had the Siyat HaDishmaya when I was in Kehel. That I have to say something, I got to give a shiur or a chabur or something. And I just run out of time because I had time, I had to prepare, and then so I made a phone call, and I had to take care of something. Kids, I gotta go, and I don't have anything to say, and I drive, get into the car, and I can't do it, I have nothing to say. And then I'm driving, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, like, before I get there. Exactly. You know, we do the Hishtadlus. We put in the, we legs the Quran to Arbeit. It's a matana. I'm a lamed, tell them Israel. And the Yevanim chapped. The Yevanim understood this, and they couldn't take it. They couldn't tolerate it, and they just wanted to eradicate it. So it's the scholar of Ne'er Mitzvah, and it starts with this.